Howdy, y'all. Welcome to the Ears Podcast. I am Alligator Rob. Frank. Some people call me Eddie. That's even more confusing. It happens sometimes. My niece was doing it the other day. Actually, the last time I was in Chicago, the last time I saw our guest that we're on with today in Chicago, my niece kept calling me Eddie and nobody knew who she was talking to. It was pretty awesome. Because, again, my dad and my brother are both Frank, too, so... So yeah, I grew up as Eddie. It's a whole different confusing story.
Is there a reason she calls you Eddie?
Well, my middle name is Edward. So instead of calling me Frank and having the whole family flinch real hard, everybody just called me Eddie growing up. So it's been a big goofy mess. People call me all kinds of things. Who knows? Mr. Curtis, how are you?
I am, I'm good, Frank.
Are you good? Yes. I say, if it went well again, I was really going to start to get confused.
Yeah. Last show I said well, and I got the third degree for it. Yeah.
It was a second degree.
Second degree, okay.
Yeah, it wasn't third. Let's not go to third degree.
That's
true. Yeah, okay. Cindy, how are you?
I'm going to go with I'm well.
You are well. Well, okay.
I don't know why that's all right. Suddenly it's forbidden, but now it's all I'm going to say.
No, we're just being goofballs.
There you go. Yeah.
We're just being goofballs. So, you guys ready to jump into this? I'm pretty excited about our guest today.
Yep.
I'm super excited.
Okay, so today we are gathered. It's, again, I have to start with superlative time. If I'm going to go into this, I got to start with superlative time. So, today we are gathered here today. Yeah, it's feel like I'm, who knows what's
are
going on.
Are we doing a wedding? You know, what is it?
Frank is losing his mind. Cindy starts laughing, I lose it. Okay, today on the phone, we have Miss Whitney Reynolds. Miss Reynolds is, I did not start the button, I'm sorry. Miss Reynolds is, I don't even know where to start with the superlatives. She's an absolute sweetheart. Some people you wonder, you know, you go, man, can they actually be that nice? Yeah, Whitney is 100% that nice. She is an absolute sweetheart and one of the kindest people you ever come across. Miss Reynolds, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, I'm so honored. And, you know, it's kind of been one of those weeks coming off of a big holiday and everything, you're kind of like, well, I hope I was nice to my kids on Easter. And hearing you say that, people, I was just like reflecting, like, oh shoot, that egg hunt, I totally yelled at one of them. But thank you for that kind intro. I tried my best. I believe in kindness and I try to spread it.
Yes, ma'am, you do lots of that every day. You know, you have something. I notice even the simple things, even if it's social media or whatever it might be, every day you have something positive you're putting out there. You're putting that effort and that energy out there, and it's noticed and appreciated. I don't know if people tell you that often enough, but it really is, and we're getting a lot out of it, and we appreciate who you are and what you stand for.
Well, thank you so much for saying that. Yeah, I thoroughly try, even like when I put stuff on social, I get asked a lot. People say, like, oh, how did you know I needed that? And I said, that's what I needed today. I needed to remind not only you, but myself that, you know, there is hope out there. There is, you know, goodness in the world. And so usually the stuff I put out there is also for me.
It's the best kind of medicine, without a doubt. So tell us about you, where you're from. You know, how in the world did you end up in Chicago? And tell us the whole story.
Yeah, so I am originally from Oklahoma. I was a small town little kid that knew around the age of 6. I mean, that's what we've determined, because there's not a day I don't remember knowing what I wanted to do, but I always dreamed of being a talk show host. So back in the day, we would take a paper towel, empty holder, and a tennis ball and tape it together, and that was my microphone. And I'm a product of 86, so, you know, back in the day the cameras were so huge, so I always say bless my heart they had to carry like a boat on their shoulder to pretend to film. And I started cultivating this dream of wanting to tell stories. I always had the gift to gab. And then it was a little bit of a situation that, and I always say it was a delicate and challenging childhood that I encountered around the age of 8. And that really gave me some insight into my adult career of where I would transition the show to. Because up until that point, it had always been a dream. And as I still worked on making the dream a reality, it was still just about talking and being on TV. But in my mid-20s, I had this major shift of connecting the dots, basically combining the dream with a mission and being the show that I needed as a kid. And that's really where I landed up with the Whitney Reynolds Show.
Wow. That's amazing. So I'm trying to think of a way to, you know, describe, you're all about inspiring people. You're all about positive change. Heck, you've won awards for being like the humanitarian of an area, the female leaders, female leader awards, female leader of the year. What do you credit all that to? What, you know, as far as where do you get that inspiration for all that stuff?
For me, it's been the challenging moments. It's been the hard times that I've had to push really, really for myself. And I think so often, especially in the day that we live in with social media, we lead with beauty of like everything's perfect. And the reality is a lot of those hard moments really made me who I am and created the foundation of what we were going to create. And, you know, it starts even, I go back to college. I wanted to go to Baylor, and I actually didn't apply to Baylor because I applied to a smaller Baptist school near my hometown, and I actually got rejected, and then Baylor sent me an acceptance. I'm telling you, I had to push. I ended up going on a provisional program, and this is just like a small tidbit, but those are those moments of like true definition of like how we got here. And I also call those God winks, like the no's that turn into yeses and the hard times that turn into beauty. Those moments are really what have created kind of this, I want to say, this beautiful cloud around me of letting people know like they can do what they want to. Dreams do come true, but no's will also happen along the way. So that's really where these awards and these credits have come through, is just sharing kind of those moments, the moments that a lot of people don't lead with.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I had read somewhere that you actually got your TV career started in high school with your TV production program, right?
Yes. And that is, again, my little small town. Who would think Durant, Oklahoma, at this time the population was not as booming as it is now. But at the time, like, our little school had a TV department, and it's so cute. I keep that on my demo reel, which now it's just more for memorabilia. But when I was first sending out my tapes of who I am and how long I've wanted this, and I was sending them to all the markets, it was so cute. At the end of it, it's like, I'm Whitney Reynolds. Thanks for tuning in. So, it was so cute and charming. I was like, oh, little Durant. I love it.
That's pretty epic. So yeah, Mr. Curtis, that's the kind of difference that, you know, you're making in people's lives right there. It's pretty, pretty amazing. Well, my phone is doing something crazy. Thank you. Appreciate
that. Thank you. Yeah.
So tell us about the role of faith in your life, Whitney.
Well, I would not be anywhere where I am today. I would not have what I have. I would not have seen what I've seen. I would not be doing the outreach I'm doing without my faith. Faith is what I stand on. And when times have been really shaky, my faith is what has always gotten me through. My faith really has propelled me to this new height of a national show. And I, you know, I say this, we're not a Christian show, but if you know me and you follow me, you will follow the steps that I know got me here in the way of my faith is everything.
Yes, ma'am. Yep. You know, we're both very similar on that front. It's pretty obvious. Pretty obvious when you take a time to sit back and think about it. You don't even need to think about it, but it's just, when you take time to look at it that way, it makes a lot of sense.
It does. It also makes you just really, I struggle with the thought of people that have not found their solid faith yet. I don't know how I would live a day, honestly. Like, there are so many weird things that happen in the world we live in, and my faith is really my backbone.
Yeah, I wouldn't be here after the last year without it, without a doubt. It would have been pretty close to impossible otherwise.
Totally.
Yep, without a doubt. So your family, I'm trying to think, the first time I met you guys was when you guys were in Orlando. And you came over here to the Space Coast for a little wildlife adventure at the Maryland National Wildlife Refuge. And I got to meet your husband and your kids. You have the most polite two kids I think I've ever met in my entire life. And your husband is awesome. Y'all's love story is amazing. Talking about inspiring, that's some inspiring stuff. Tell us about your family.
So I am the mother to two crazy, adorable, and as their teachers told me today at parent-teacher conference, respectful twins, which I said, really? Are we talking about the same two kids? I think they like bottle it up for me when I pick them up in the little line after school. They're like, oh, we've saved all this for you, Mom. But they are five now, and it's a really fun season in our house because they are turning in to little people. I mean, we've known them for 5 years, but it's really cute for them to come in and tell stories today. Again, unbeknownst to me, which of course there was emails for months, the school was out today for parent-teacher conference. I just didn't quite understand that the kids can't be there too. So around 6 o'clock last night, it dawned on me, oh, the kids are out of school tomorrow. So I had interviews today, and my son, he is so funny. He just kept opening the door and crawling in. And then my daughter was pretending to be a TV host today and fake typing on my iPad. So it was a really fun adventure today, but that's what I'm loving about the season they're in is we're actually making memories as a family, and they're ones that we want to remember and cherish and really, you know, kind of, I mean, it's one of those seasons that I have to say is just really fun. And we're learning a lot about the kids and kind of my son really has popped out of his shell this year, which is so cool because our daughter's always, I mean, I'm sure she talked her ear off when we were there, if I recall.
Yeah, it was pretty epic, without a doubt. Yeah, she had all kinds of questions and things to ask. And your boy did kind of sit back and just kind of watch, kind of took it all in.
Yeah, and they said he's like out of his shell and running, and I see that, but I'm really happy that other people are seeing that. And then for my husband and I, we are actually going on 10 years of marriage. Well, we haven't hit that yet, but we've been together a decade. We got married very, very fast. It was what I called love at first sight. In fact, if you can see me right now, I'm sitting in the chair I met him in. I walked into a coffee shop and sat right down next to the most handsome man with his jeans tucked in rain boots, and his epic pickup line was, can I hook your computer cord in?
That's hilarious. Like,
you can. So we had really what I do call love at first sight. And then also it just, the depth of our love story really came into, I've always been a woman of faith, and he was someone that always knew the Lord, but didn't really, you know, go to church every day and all that kind of stuff. And so literally week one, he asked for me to be his girlfriend. And that Sunday I asked him to go to church. And from there we've been inseparable. We said, I love you 3 weeks later, 3 months later, he proposed. And within a year we got married.
Wow. That is so, that is so great.
It's also terrifying. He could have been a psycho and I would have been in big trouble, but
that's right. A year. That's not that long to hide that. I mean,
I know. Right.
I like the fact that you took the chair with you too.
Well, the interesting thing is the coffee shop actually was shutting down. So he proposed there too, 3 months later. And so I had a chalkboard in the kid's room that he proposed on that said, will you marry me? And I have the chair I bought, but it was funny because when they were shutting down, I stopped by and I said, oh my gosh, the chalkboard. And they said, hey lady, there's like 25 other moms that want this. And I showed them the picture of it saying, will you marry me? They go, you have 10 minutes to get this home. And I said, okay, I'll take it.
That's where it's at. So how about this? Early on in your career, you know, or when you finally figured out this is what you wanted to do was be a talk show host and make these kinds of differences in life. In people's lives, who were your role models? Are there people that helped you get there? Are there people that you kind of modeled what you do after? Or is this just all you?
Well, Oprah really paved this interesting way. She took talk TV and really started telling deeper stories, ones that caused appointment television. I'll never forget my mom coming home and being like, Oprah's on at 4. And she wanted to make sure she didn't miss the person that survived brain cancer. And it was stories that really left a mark after the show was off. And so that took what originally was this the old way, and I don't know if you remember, like in the 90s, the talk shows of like Who's Your Father, Who's Your Cheating on Who, those were kind of the way of the 90s.
Oh yeah, everything was very sensational.
Yes. And then Oprah transformed these deeper stories. And I knew that was paving a way for storytellers like myself, but I knew we'd have to do it different. I'll never forget, like, going into, I was in college and, you know, then I was at Good Morning America and people are like, well, what do you want to do? And I'm like, be a talk show host. And they're like, dream on. And that, and that's literally what I did. I kept dreaming on, because there's no path to really being a talk show host. There's no, like, set out, like, okay, I'm going to apply to be Whitney Reynolds or the Drew Barrymore show or Oprah. It's kind of like different paths that take you there. So my natural way was journalism and learning how to talk very well on TV. And so I became a morning anchor and I talked for 2 hours a day. It was very bad when I started. In fact, I'm extremely short. I'm 5'1", and they would put me on a box to read news clips at different time. And my first, I fell off the darn box and forgot my name. And I thought, people have me back. I will be better tomorrow.
She is my spirit animal. You're right.
I came back and I learned to talk. I remembered my name. You know, I became friends with that box.
Were you able to just laugh that off and the next day just own it? Is that how you pulled it off?
Yes and no. I mean, it's everything's hindsight. Like, I'll never forget crying in the bathroom that day. And my news director, which was a man, knocking and saying, well, it's illegal for me to come in there, but I want to make sure you're okay. Are you okay? I'm just a little bruised. He's like, physically bruised? I'm like, no.
I wish.
Yeah. So, you know, and then the other thing with news, and the one thing I've stepped into in my adult life and owning a show that really roots for others, is I do believe there's enough pie for everyone. And that was a totally different mindset back in the day. In fact, I had fierce competition because they signed me as a reporter producer, and then the morning show opened up. And so they pit me against like four different people, and I was only 21 years old. I ended up getting the spot, but I was against people that were 60 and had been seasoned in the career for years.
No pressure.
Yeah, a lot of pressure. But that was it. But all those moments, again, like, I look back and smile on those now, but a lot of those were hard at the time, because, you know, who wants to go to bed thinking about the next day, making sure you don't fall off a box and, you know, you try to get the job.
That is a lot to be. That's a lot to have on your mind.
But that little market still leaves a good little chapter in my book. I love Market 161. It taught me a lot.
So, what story have you gotten to cover that has been the most impactful for you?
That's a great question. Every story we do, I am just like kind of in awe at it. We're stepping into a part of the show where I finally have the funding and the staffing that I really need to tell these stories deeper and stronger the way we should. But this season, I'll give you this season example, and I'll give you another one. But this season, we just sat down with twin parents that when they originally found out they were pregnant, they went in, they saw the heartbeat, all was good. They went back 20 weeks later because it was during COVID, and they saw two heartbeats but one body. And they actually had twins that were sharing, like, basically they were connected. So they each had, and the crazy miracle about this is now they are separated and they're at home, and they made miracles, like, not only be known to the world, but they are proof that miracles do exist here. But that story, just sitting with that mom and sitting in a very similar seat of having twins and being a mom and, you know, knowing there's loss that could happen. And I think any mom that watches this interview or dad is going to feel what I felt creating this piece of just like, I just watched a living miracle come to life, you know? So that's one coming up in our new season, that actually for the fall. So we just finished that, wrapping that. We tape a season ahead. So we're airing what was actually taped in the fall right now. It's released. So we're mid season, and actually someone on this podcast right now is actually hitting our new season, which is very exciting. I loved sharing your story. We had a show called For the Love of Lives, and we talked about how following the love in your life, it can really save your life. And so we told actually your story, and it was beautifully done, and just talking about how following an alligator to go help an alligator in Chicago led you to this kind of tribe in Chicago that roots for you and help fund your surgery. So that's another one of my favorites. I would be remiss if I didn't bring that one up. But the one that really sticks out to me, and I'm looking at the sign on my wall right now, is our Emmy nomination. It's for veterans. I always say, like, there is not enough we can do for our veteran community. And so we always share different stories of veterans, but this one was integrating veterans back into society in a way that's going to be very fruitful for them. And that was our Emmy nomination. And so that one is a program that will forever have changed me.
That's beautiful. Yep, and you made me cry.
So yeah.
I was trying not to call him out on it.
So now, okay, Harmony, we're not playing music now. you just play. The music started, honey. Okay. Well, you didn't touch anything. Anyway, so tell me about high school. I teach to high school TV production. And so I am really curious as to, because I was just talking to our audio person in there. There's two high school students who are here that are running audio and video for us. And what?
No, everything's fine. She was apologizing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so now what kind of program did you guys, do a daily show? Did you do just?
It was today at Durant High School. And we would run through the announcements. It would come on, I think, at 8:05. And
so did you do it live?
We did not do it live. Sometimes we tried, and they were always very disastrous. One of the live ones, though, that I will always remember is I got called in. They said we need to do breaking news. And I'm like, ugh. And it was when I was nominated for Homecoming Queen. So they pulled a big – they asked all the the court in there, and they said, you know, we have breaking news. And so that was really fun. And I think that one was live. Again, very disastrous moments on live TV in high school. But it was such a neat program because it's a small town and they actually had great cameras. We had a little set. We learned how to produce. It gave me an upper hand for going into journalism at Baylor. Like having that and having that confidence of knowing I could teleprompter in high school, which is such a weird thing. Again, I didn't kick the accent probably until after college. I still have a little bit sometimes, and if I have wine, a little bit more. But but it taught me a lot. It was a great program. I'd highly recommend for schools to kind of see all the different. They had a thing in my school where you could break out and see different like careers you wanted to do, basically like a career day, but you did this over 4 weeks. And I think that's how they developed the program, as they saw that there were a lot of kids interested in media at the time.
Yeah. And that's amazing because that's not a cheap program to put on. Somebody had to come up with some money and to put something behind it. And that's saying something. Somebody had some foresight.
Yeah, and it is really neat now because I went back for my 10-year reunion and it was crazy because they even have like what I would call the state of the art studio. It was pretty incredible because they built a brand new school. And so with that, they actually funded the new studio even more.
What's your senior class think about you now?
I'm still Whitney Reynolds. I am still, when I go in, I call Durant, Oklahoma, like Disneyland for me. The lady still has my picture at the donut shop hanging up. I mean, my favorite, she always keeps it. She used to do that for me every Saturday. She would keep, because, you know, they sell out of their donuts because it is the donut shop of town. So she would save me my favorite, and she still does whenever I come into town. It is just one of those sweet towns that rallies for people. And I actually got to go back when I had my book launch. I got to go back and speak to the high school, and that was really special. And that was before they moved to the new school. So it was very full circle going back to my old school and going in there. And just, you know, my hometown is one that really has rooted for me all along. And I'm really appreciative. Again, my family situation was very different for a small town in Oklahoma. And because of that, a lot of people could have been bullied or, you know, even made fun of in different ways by adults, or I guess that's another form of bullying, but they didn't. They actually rallied behind me and have rallied behind my dream. And it's really special when I go in.
What is the donut of choice?
It is definitely like a cinnamon glaze. This sounds so bad. And probably like, oh my gosh, don't let her go in. It's like a cinnamon glazed, like wrap around like honey bun. So keep in mind, like this one wraps though, like Princess Leia's hair. Like it's like a whole side of her ear, but then they douse it in hot, like immediate, like the chocolate, but they do it hot for me because I like it a little toasty. And so it's like dripping. It is just goodness, but you really do not probably need to eat for the next week after that one.
That's a super sugar coma. Is that what you're telling me?
It is just amazing. And believe it or not, I used to drink a Diet Dr. Pepper with it. Like, what an oxymoron. Like, I was like, oh yeah, you're such a good girl with my Diet Dr. Pepper.
So tell us about your vacation you just went on. How'd that go for you? You were in Florida, right?
We were. And that is the funny story about alligators. Or I don't know which one they told me. They said, I asked if there were alligators or crocodiles, and they laughed at me on one of them. I don't remember which one it was. They were like, no, not here, but that. Yeah, so there was one of them in the water that we could have been with.
Where were you at?
We were in Amelia Island, and there's like little, you can take the little, I guess you would call them channels, up to like, we ate lunch in Georgia that day in this cute little town. And the funny thing is though, so keep in mind, I was kind of not picturing us getting in the water because they told us either alligators or crocodiles. I don't remember.
It'd be alligators. Yeah. Okay, no crocodiles up there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly how they said it. And then giggled at me. And so the alligators, they said, yeah, alligators could be in here. Also, the Coast Guard is in here. They're doing training today. There could be sharks because they, you know, they could come in.
Yep, they're all there.
And so we love pontoon boating. We sound definitely like we're in our 60s, but we love it. And we have so much fun on it. And we wanted to tube behind it. But again, when they said there could be sharks or alligators, my husband's like, I think we'll keep our family in the boat. So the funny thing happened, we were driving right along, and all of a sudden we come to an abrupt halt. There was a sandbar that we did not see, and my Oklahoma self jumped right back into motion because I grew up on like muddy water. And so before I knew it, I cannonballed in. I had him raise the motor and I pushed us out of the sandbar.
There you go.
Who is this girl? Like the city slicker. Like I literally cannonball with clothes on. Previously I was doing like Instagram videos, like with sunglasses, my hair still in pristine shape. All of a sudden I cannonball in. I'm in with alligators, potentially sharks. And I just like, I did it. And it was so funny. Once I got back into the boat though, the gravity of what I had just done was like, oh my goodness, I could have lost a limb. Like who knew?
And that's what living in Florida is like every day.
Yes, exactly. And it was quite the adventure. I have to tell you, like the adventure continued. We ended up grabbing lunch in Georgia and we parked our boat. The guy said, leave your bags. We did. And when we got to lunch, we're like, huh, he was so friendly. And he told us to leave the boat keys in there, our bags in there. Is our boat still going to be there? Sure enough, it was just Southern hospitality. It was all there. It was just a reminder there are good people. We should not be worried. Like, no one's going to do a boat jacking. Like, it was fine.
I got a little concerned for a second as you were telling that story. I was like, oh, no, this is going bad.
We didn't really realize it until we got to lunch. And he, like, waved us into shore, like, park here. I'll help tie you up. It was just a kind gentleman, and I had faith restored in humanity after that. I mean, not one, no, everything was there.
Thank you, Florida man, for looking good for us. We appreciate it.
I know.
Yeah, thank you, Florida man. Yes, we appreciate that. Good grief. Yeah, that could have went all wrong.
I know. It didn't even register to us until we ordered lunch, and Dave was like, we're going to get this to go right now. Everybody back to the boat.
What'd your husband think about you diving into the water?
He was very, very proud. I mean, it was, keep in mind, it was a cannonball moment. I like totally, it was like, he was like, you know, some people go in with the ladder. You just like cannonballed it. Your dramatic self was saving the family. And I did. The kids like all cheered for me. The Coast Guard, I thought, saluted me. I don't know. That was like what was happening in my head. I just like went into action. But I grew up like on a lake, but not with alligators or potentially sharks. So that was what was so funny, is I was like, ooh, that could have gone a little sideways.
I always tell people.
You did the right thing. You cannonballed in. Yes, and so 100%. Cleared the area because they were like, nope, don't want anything to do with this.
No, yeah.
She is out of her mind. Like, we don't want any part of this. This is, we're done. Yeah, I always tell people to worry about taxes or terrorism or something important. Don't worry about alligators and sharks.
Yeah. And well, and it's true. I in that moment, I was not, until after I got back in the boat, I thought to myself, whoa, that could have gone very different.
You know a guy. It's okay.
I do. That's what I told him. That was like my extra call. That I was like, I know a guy. Stay away.
That's hilarious. Oh, Lord. You want to do some trivia with us, Whitney?
Oh, sure. Okay. I don't know what I'll be, but I'm in.
So again, I try to market the trivia to the person. So I think I got something that might work out for you.
Okay.
All right. And Bill and Cindy will help you out.
Okay.
And then I'm going to hold the paper up so Bill doesn't cheat.
He still thinks I can read it.
Okay. So this is Chicago trivia.
Oh, no.
So, yeah. Poor Frank Schwindel. The Cubs first baseman, when he was on, we had Chicago trivia, and poor Frank, I didn't know that I was literally striking him out with Chicago trivia. I felt so bad about that.
Now, the last two nights, they've been playing the Rays, yeah. So I've watched them.
Have you watched him play?
Yeah, Frank had a home run.
Yeah, Frank's
night
no
before,
joke.
Did a triple, had a triple last night.
Yeah, Frank's
he's
no
doing
joke.
Great.
Yeah, he's
doing great.
He's a great player and a great guy.
We're going to see him Saturday.
Are you really? You going to the game Saturday?
We're doing a little T-ball action in the morning and then Cubs in the afternoon.
Who are they playing? Who are they playing Saturday?
They are playing Pittsburgh, and that's part of it. My husband's from. So, but we will be wearing our Cubs. I actually just got to go behind the scenes in Wrigley and do a taping with the Cubs charities coach. And so that it was really exciting to be on the field. I lost my tennis bracelet in the dirt. We found it. It was all okay. But it was quite the day.
Did they have to break out like the metal detectors to find it?
My poor staff, they were doing it for me. They were like crawling around, but they were like, it was so neat at the same time. It was like crawling around on first base. Who gets to do that?
This is true. Did you go ahead and run the bases while you were out there?
No. We had a very, very strict keeper of us. we stayed where we were told we could stay, but it was really neat to get to be on the field.
Yeah, you got to hang out at Frank's second home at first base.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. That is pretty awesome. Okay, all right. Serious time. Chicago trivia. Okay. Take a breath. All right. Number one, what was the original name of the Cubs baseball franchise?
Oh, the Cubs?
They were, before they were the Cubs, they were something else.
You're not doing trick questions?
No, ma'am. No trick questions. maybe trick questions, but not this one's not. Cindy, you actually have this?
Well, probably not.
You might?
Probably not. What was it? A color?
It was
socks
a color
that doesn't exist anymore.
No, it was a color of something sock. Yes.
Okay, I just don't remember the color.
Stockings. Actually, it was the white stockings.
Okay. No way.
Indeed. Yep.
And so, is that how they formed the white socks?
I believe it is. I think. You know, I don't. I'm not speaking. Somebody in Chicago right now is throwing things at me and cussing, and saying that's not what happened at all, Frank. But.
Tell them to DM us. DM us.
Yes, exactly. Send me the actual details because I'm pretty sure the White Stockings went to the Cubs, and then the South Side of Chicago said, we're making our own baseball team. We're not going to put up with that, and hence the White Sox.
Wow. Now,
it sounds plausible to me.
Yeah, but they were the White Stockings. They were the White Stockings.
It's ironic to have socks and stockings. That is, yes.
You don't ever hear the word stockings
anymore.
Not
a coincidence. Can't be.
Do you ever hear the word stockings anymore?
Yeah, Christmas time. Sure.
Valid point. Okay. Yeah, valid point. You're right. Number two, when was Chicago incorporated as a city? What year? It was incorporated. It was a town. It became a town in 1833.
Okay.
So it was after that point it became a city.
Okay. I'm so tempted because we can't see each other to Google this real quick. But I'm not
That's true. She could do that.
You could 100% do it.
She could do that.
I'm testing my own willpower because I almost did it really fast.
Harmony's probably doing it in the control room. She's probably.
No?
No, she's not. She didn't care.
I'm too ADD, though. Y'all be like, Whitney, are you still there? And I'm like, wait. Yes, wait, I am.
So it became a town in 1833.
Okay. I'm going to go with 1897.
1857.
Oh,
I would say no. We haven't done it yet. That was just a guess.
It does have a seven. It does have a seven in the last number. I will give you that.
I would figure because the railroads. I mean, that's kind of what made Chicago into a big city.
Mm-hmm. Here comes the professor.
golly, 1877.
So it became a town in 1833. It became a city in 1837.
1837. Okay, so yeah. It wasn't. Yeah. It was really quick.
It was pretty quick. Number three. How many stars are on Chicago's flag, and what do they represent?
Oof. Star wise, I know the answer to this because I've done all these tours.
I've had the second trip I was up there. A guy named Ken Palmer at the Palmer House.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he made sure I understood exactly what each one of those stars were. He would not hear anything else. He's like, you are going to understand what these stars are for. And yeah, I couldn't get a good read on him at first. He actually just passed away. I couldn't get a good read on him at first, so I didn't know if he was joking with me or being serious, but he was just a big jokester. And the guy was just a wealth of information when it came to this kind of stuff. But yeah.
He's probably one of those tour guides back in the day. That's I learned more from the double decker bus tour.
Really?
But I'm gonna go with four.
There are four. Yep.
I know one of them has to do with the Chicago Fire.
Yep, that's star number two.
Oh,
that was in 1871.
Oh, okay, just well 40 years after it was a city almost. And then I know the World's Fair was huge.
Yep, World's Fair was one of them.
Oh, it is one of them. Okay.
Yep. Okay, yeah.
That's it. That's all I got. I would say I would love to say there's a fifth star for the Whitney Reynolds show, but not the case.
Give it time. It'll be there. I know one was for Fort Dearborn. So it was Fort Dearborn, the Great Fire, the World's Fair, and what was number four? Oh my gosh, I'm drawing a blank on what number four is.
Hmm.
I'm drawing a blank on what number four is. Chicago, I'm sorry. I'm drawing a blank on what number four is.
The Cubs winning the World Series again?
No, it was before that. It's had a fourth star for a long time.
That's okay, the fourth star's been there?
Yeah, it's been there for a long time.
So you're telling me there's a chance they could add another star.
There's always a chance. Yeah, okay. There's always a chance. There's always hope. I'm going to inspire you to say this is possible to happen, Whitney.
This is possible.
Okay, number four. Which Chicagoan became the first American woman to win the Nobel Prize for Peace when she died in 1931? She did in 1931. She didn't die in 1931. I'm sorry, ma'am.
Okay, wait. She died when?
She didn't.
He doesn't know when she died. He knows when she didn't die.
Yeah, she did not
die
in 1931.
She won the prize in 1931.
Yeah, I put did instead of, and I thought I wrote died. So I apologize, ma'am.
Can you give me a hint?
It's a lady.
Even know who it is.
No,
so
I do.
He can't
I do.
Give you an idea.
So, which Chicagoan became the first woman to win the Nobel Prize for Peace when she did that in 1931? Her first name is Jane.
Oh, I don't know.
Do you know this, Cindy?
Come on. Of course you know who won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1931.
Everybody? It was the first Chicagoan.
Okay.
In the first
American
woman.
So did they name
woman.
A street after her? Is there a street?
You know, there might
be
a street
after her. Adams, if there is a street.
It is, 100%.
See,
Jane
there
Adams.
You go. You just,
that makes so, now the more you know, I'm going to be driving and honking and being like, Nobel Peace Prize.
There you go.
Where is that at in Chicago?
I think it's the highway, right?
Is it really?
Yeah, I think they call it, hang on, I'm feeling very, very silly right now.
What?
I hope Chicago don't judge. Okay, I'm going to look it up. Jane Addams Freeway.
This is hilarious.
So there you go.
I mean, it does make sense. It would be a highway.
Well,
it's
yeah,
a pretty, important, pretty important thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's but you know there's not a lot of peace in traffic. Okay, yeah, the Memorial Tollway.
It's kind of that juxtaposition, yeah.
Wow, okay, wow. Yeah. All right, number five. We're in this on a very positive note. You 100% got this, Whitney. I believe in you.
Oh really? Okay. Yeah,
I believe you got this one. Number five. Chicago boasts the only public sculpture ever created by which 20th century artist?
Wait, say it again.
Chicago boasts.
You're so confident. I was gonna have the answer.
No,
this?
You do. You do have it.
Oh, you have to.
You,
come
you,
on.
You 100% have this.
This is
one.
An icon.
Chicago boasts. Or brags about the only public sculpture ever created by which 20th century artist?
Oh,
you want to tell her what it is?
The bean.
Well,
the
give
bean.
Me like three voices.
Yep, it the is the bean. It is the bean.
It's the bean.
Oh,
yeah, but who made it?
Who made it?
Is it?
I mean,
was it actually?
Do y'all really know who made the? Is this like something I should know?
Yes, ma'am. You should know this one.
Picasso.
Okay. Yeah, it was Picasso.
No way.
No way.
Yep. Yeah, it's Picasso.
Wait. Did he make it for Chicago?
Yeah.
Yep.
The Bing?
I think so. That's what it is. Isn't that the shiny thing?
Yeah, it's a big shiny thing. Yeah,
the big shiny thing, yeah.
Is a Picasso bean?
What, Harmony? What you got? Turn on your microphone. Tell me.
Okay. So this isn't about this question.
Harmony, you're killing me.
I was trying to wait. I was trying to tell you. I was waiting. So the last one was Century of Progress Exposition in 1933 to 1934 for the star flags.
Number three. I got you.
Okay.
Good find.
Yeah, good find. So
good job. Way to use Google.
Whichever thing it was. Yeah, it's Pablo Picasso. Picasso.
It was not Picasso. It says it's Anish Kapoor's Cloud Gate.
Okay, so that was okay.
It's a different thing.
Picasso.
Was a bean.
What did Picasso make?
He made something else in there. I do remember hearing about it.
I was gonna say the bean is not very Picasso-esque.
The bean is not Picasso-esque.
But he did. Yeah, he did do something.
Yeah, he did some big figure.
Wait, do we need to fact check all your trivia?
I know. No, it wasn't. Now I'm feeling bad about it.
It wasn't for. I said the bean thing. The bean was me. And I don't know anything. So
Picasso.
What did Picasso make? What
I don't have
his
my phone to Google it.
I think Harmony's fact checking for us.
No, she's not. She's a high school kid.
She's in a whole different world right now. She has no idea what's going on. Miss Reynolds.
Oh, he did the main stuff in front of the city buildings.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess that makes
sense. Pablo Picasso.
Yeah. Picasso. Yeah, it's funny. Before I knew that he did anything in Chicago, I thought he was from a long time ago, and I felt very silly knowing that he was that recent in our past.
Yeah.
My parents are actually collectors, so I have they call them numbered prints.
Wow.
Signed by him, yeah. I have one that I'm looking at right now. I could send you a picture after this.
Okay, yeah, please do.
But my parents collect them, and so somehow I landed them, which is very exciting.
That is exciting.
I know. It's not my husband's forte, but like I tell him, I decorate this house. He will like it.
That's where it's at.
You would have had me saying he did the bean. I'm so glad we fact-checked.
No. I'm going, I don't think that's right.
Okay.
I'll believe you if you say it's the bean, but I'm not believing that it's actually the bean. I'm questioning the legality of the bean.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Mr. Curtis.
It's a protest. That's okay. No.
Ms. Reynolds, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, this was great. Thank you so much for having me and kind of, you know, not only pushing our mission forward by sharing our story, but also giving people insight to what friendship looks like. This was so nice just to chat with a friend on this. So I love that people are getting to see and hear that.
Yeah, I think the world of you. I hope you know that. You and your husband and your family, you guys are some of the sweetest people I think I've ever met, and I really appreciate you all, what you stand for and what you're all about. It's just it's so refreshing. You know, I tell people all the time how important it is to have that circle, you know, that circle of good people, and you are 100% part of that amazing circle. So I hope you know that.
Well, thank you so much for that. It feels the same way back to you.
All right. Well, have a great day. Tell your husband and the kids howdy, and we'll catch up here soon.
Okay. Thanks, everybody.
Good talking to you. Bye.
Bye.
All right, guys. Thank you for joining us here on the Ears Podcast. Anything else interesting going on this week, Mr. Curtis?
Don't know what week this is going to air, so I don't know what to say.
Yeah, it's
really hard.
Are we two weeks?
We might be in June, somehow we're in the middle of June. I'm in Texas, visiting my children.
At this point, so this coming weekend, this will not air in time. So again, if you guys can mentally zoom into where I'm at right now,
Frank's going to tell you something that you can go, oh, I missed it.
Yes,
I would have really enjoyed that.
You would have so enjoyed being there. But this weekend, I'm doing a. Again, I'm sorry to even mention it. This weekend, I'm doing an educational.
But yeah, you're
going to. I 100% going. I'm going to. I'm doing an educational program at the Enchanted Forest Sanctuary on alligators on Sunday. We have a baseball. Oh my garage! I don't even know what sport we're playing. We have a football game on Saturday. Then a month from today, at the Enchanted Forest, I'm doing a reptile program. on critters like that are in your office over there.
Okay.
And Cindy has no idea those are over there, but there's a bunch of critters.
He's got snakes in the control room.
I thought you were just joking.
No, he's not.
Oh, I'm 100% joking.
What's going on?
I'm 100%
on?
Joking, but I'll show you some afterwards.
No.
Yeah, so.
He's got them. Showed them to our last guest, and yeah, she was not. She was kind of like, yeah.
She was excited.
Harmony's showing you. They're snakes.
She was excited. I think I'm in Chicago in July and August, and who knows what's going on from there. But yeah.
There you go.
Blessings. We're doing every library in the county across the summer for all the summer programs. So yeah, me and Gator Bill are going on a rampage. A good rampage.
A good rampage.
A very good rampage. Because rampage can be a good word.
It can. Yes. Just like what was the
rampage.
Other one?
Rampage.
Vermin. That was
yeah.
it.
Oh, varmint.
Varmint. Oh, yeah. It was varmint. That's right. Maybe that's what
Wait,
it was.
So is vermin the plural of varmint? Is that like more than one varmint?
Harmony
vermin?
Says yes, so I'm going with her.
You can't say that thing's a vermin. That'd be that thing's a varmint, right?
Varmint, and then the group of them would be vermin.
Vermins.
See, there we go. No, vermin.
Well, why couldn't you say plural. Varmints? Look at the varmints.
Because we speak English.
Because English is terrible.
is varmints not a word? Now I'm confused. I'm going places that I did not expect myself to be going.
Oh, yeah. We're definitely on a tangent, brother.
this conversation went off the wire. I want to say super, super thanks to Miss Reynolds for being here. Again, she is probably one of the sweetest people you'll ever come across and ever meet. I hope you guys all get a chance to check out her show and see what she's up to. It's the Whitney Reynolds Show. She's on Instagram at Whitney Reynolds. Yeah, great lady. So anyhow, Cindy, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Mr. Curtis?
No, you didn't ask Cindy if she had anything going on this
Oh,
week.
Cindy, yeah, what do you have going
on?
I'm so sorry.
You gotta ask Cindy
oh,
if she
my
knows.
Garage. I'm so sorry, Cindy.
What I do don't got? Know what week this is airing, see, so I'm not doing this.
So pick a week.
Yeah, pick a week.
Pick and
a week
we'll
and tell us something
work.
Fancy. Tell us something
I hope
fancy.
I have nothing going on. I can't tell you how bad I need quiet and nothing to go on at
are,
all.
Are we getting together for a podcast tomorrow? I think we are, aren't we?
That's a question for once we get
yeah,
down.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what's happening tomorrow. Anyhow, y'all, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll catch you all next time. Bye-bye.